I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today, it's Midday on the Arts. The jazz impresario Todd Barkin joins me. In 1972, he opened a club in San Francisco called Keystone Corner, which came to be known as one of the most significant jazz venues in the country. Last spring, he opened the Keystone Corner Jazz Club and Restaurant in Baltimore, where he continues to present both the biggest names in jazz and emerging young artists. 5 years ago, Sid Wolfe of Germano's Piattini started an annual celebration of street art, music, and food. The Montanari Festival is underway at this hour in Little Italy. We'll talk to Sid and to one of the artists who'll create a masterpiece in chalk this weekend. Plus, the internationally acclaimed classical guitar virtuoso Pyotr Pakhomkin joins me to play live in Studio A. Midday on the Arts gets underway after these headlines. Good afternoon. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Today, it's Midday on the Arts. Coming up, we'll have a live performance here in Studio A by a virtuoso classical guitarist named Pyotr Pakhomkin, who runs a music school in Frederick. Plus, we'll touch base with Sid Wolfe, the executive producer of the 5th annual Little Italy Baltimore Montanari Arts Festival, and we'll meet one of the artists who's working at the festival, Carlos Alberto Garcia Hernandez. But first, if you are a fan of jazz, then you undoubtedly know about a great new club that opened in Baltimore at the end of April. It's called Keystone Corner. It's located in Harbor East in a great spot right on the water, and it comes to Baltimore with a storied and famous pedigree. The man behind Keystone Corner is the jazz impresario Todd Barkin, who joins me now in Studio A. Welcome. It's good to see you, Todd.
Oh, welcome. Bright moments.
And, you know, I've been to the club now a few times, and my wife has actually been a few more times than me, and it's just a terrific addition to the scene here. It's just a wonderful place to hear great music. The food is terrific. The atmosphere is great. And the lineup of people that you're bringing is really extraordinary. So tell us about the Keystone Corner that you opened in 1972,
right,
in San Francisco.
Well, it was a little beer bar in North Beach in San Francisco, and I was going to try to get a gig. I played with a Latin jazz group called Cuani and the Cuanditos, and I went there to get a gig. I said, well, let's have Latin jazz Mondays. He said, no, this is a beer bar, you know, and jazz people want wine and liquor. But I'm going to sell this place. Why don't you buy it and hire your own band? And I need about $5,000 to open a club in Berkeley. I'm going to open a big rock club, and you could buy this club and hire your own band. I said, I only got $8,500, but to make a long story short, I wound up buying the club 2 days later. I only had $8,500, so he took $5,000 that he needed to open the new club and $400 a month till I paid off all the furnishings. I bought it for $12,500, and at the age of 25, I was a club owner.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're an impresario.
Never having owned or run any business in my life, just being a hippie piano player who was there working day and night in San Francisco. And at the age of 25, I was a jazz club owner.
There you go. By the way, folks, we are streaming our conversation with Todd Barkin, who last year was named an NEA Jazz Master. That's really the highest honor one can get in the jazz field. We are streaming our conversation on the WIPR Facebook page, so you can tune us in there. You brought to San Francisco, and you're continuing the tradition, bringing acts to Baltimore of, you know, just the highest caliber, some of the iconic names in jazz you've gotten to know quite well over the years.
Well, they're kind of the Keystone family by this time. And, you know, Ron Carter helped us open on April 30th on International Jazz Day, and Monty Alexander and Kenny Garrett. I mean, they're people I've been working with for decades, and they're part of our jazz family. And Eddie Palmieri, who's coming back with Joe Locke, they're all part of, and Roy Haynes. These are people that are not only, you know, my friends, but my colleagues and, you know, partners in time, as
yeah.
it were.
And you've produced a lot of albums from the Keystone, as well as albums for labels. I mean, you worked as a record producer for some of the big jazz.
Right.
Labels.
I produced about 800 records. And
800.
Yeah, but that's been since the early 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 47 years, you know, 48 years of doing that.
That's still a lot of records.
It's still a lot of records. But I worked a lot for Japan, you know, for labels in Japan and the United States for Fantasy, Milestone, and Columbia and other labels here. So I stayed pretty busy in that area.
It seems that you have a very single-minded attention to the vibe of the club, to the feel of the club for the players as well as for the audience. This is important to you, isn't it?
Oh, it's extreme. It's everything. And you know, we say that take care of the music and the music will take care of you. And that includes and relates to creating the most loving kind of environment for the music to be creative. Because the audience really plays a very critical role, especially in improvised music. They're a part of the sharing of, you know, the process of shared creative cycles. You know, the shared creative cycles of the music are what makes it special and what make it different, what contributes to making it different every single night. It's a different experience. It's a rebirth of every song and every arrangement and everything we're doing, you know, has a new life depending on the audience and the moment and the way the artists are feeling and the way the audience is feeling. They really contribute a lot. And that's why, you know, I put on my little Facebook page, Vibrationist, you know.
That's your job description.
That's my job description. Executive producer, program director, and vibrationist.
And what do you think are the elements that you, what are you looking for in the Keystone Corner here in Baltimore? And what were you able to achieve in 10 years in San Francisco?
Well,
To create that vibe.
Well, and I think it was, you know, I think we have an amazing audience here in Baltimore. Sometimes they have to, you know, have to be a little insistent upon some quiet and really, you know, unadulterated listening, giving up oneself to the music, becoming one with the music, because it's such a wonderful experience to do so.
And we should say that you make that announcement as you introduce each act. You say, this right. is a quiet club. This is not the kind of club where people are playing in the background.
Right.
The music is front and center.
The music is the main act. And you know, we encourage talking before and after the show and expressing yourself along with the music, whatever and however it makes you feel. It's all about sharing the feeling of the music. And in San Francisco, I was very fortunate because I had almost 80-90% of the people working there were musicians. Here it's a little different, but bit by bit we're getting more and more dedicated people, both, you know, all throughout the staff of the club, a wonderful group of people, and we will continue to build that family of people. It takes a, you know, there's an expression, it takes a village. Well, to do a really good jazz club, it takes a family. So, I mean, when we're building that family, and we're building a family of listeners. And one of the things about Baltimore that's been most disheartening has been the embrace of the jazz community. While limited in numbers, you know, the hardcore fans, they are as devoted and as consistent as any fans that I've ever seen. So we're building that base, and you know, I'm very encouraged because we're, you know, we're growing and, you know, we're building and we're having different kinds of music. For example, I mean, music that I feel is of a high quality that is slightly more varied in genre, like, you know, having a Michael Henderson or a Gene Karn or a Roy Ayers. They're all part of the jazz, you know, diaspora, but in different areas of it.
And you're also making the club available to emerging artists and
right.
local artists, too. I mean, there's a mix.
Right.
You've got these, you know, sort of iconic big names, but you've got the Boom Bop Society, the Boom Bap Society, which our good friend Wendell Patrick does. You've got
Oh, we have
compilations. You know, people, the Baltimore Jazz Collective, for example, plays pretty regularly there.
Oh, they're wonderful, and that's a labor of love and a mission quite possible and wonderful. They're going to be recorded for. We're here on National Public Radio, and they're going to be broadcast on National Public Radio on New Year's Eve on the Toast of the Nation broadcast.
From the Keystone here in Baltimore.
Yeah, from the Keystone, which is great for Baltimore. It's wonderful for Baltimore. It's wonderful for the new Keystone Corner also as well. And it's just, and they're some of the most wonderful musicians in the world. I've never worked with anybody greater than they are. I mean, it's Sean Jones on trumpet and Todd Marcus on bass clarinet and Brene Ali
player.
Singing and dancing. And Blake Meister and Chris Funn on the bass and Quincy Phillips on drums and Mark G. Meadows and Alan Johnson on the piano. I mean, it's the greatest musicians, as great as I've ever worked with, right up there with George Cables and Bobby Hutcherson and Dexter and all the greats that we've worked with. And this is our house band.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to speak. But
which says something. Yeah, yeah. When you get folks of that caliber playing.
And we're very committed to them. They're wonderful. And they're there every Tuesday from 7:30 to 9. And then we have an open jam session for the people in Baltimore, for the young musicians. And we'll be getting more and more. Now that school's back, we'll be getting more and more of those musicians coming. Because when we opened, it was April 30th, and the school year was almost over. We've had a long, hot summer, but now they're starting to come back this Tuesday. So,
because it is a challenge. I mean, jazz clubs, you know, have a long history of not doing so well here in our beloved city. What's so exciting to me about it as a former classical musician who actually played some jazz and pop music earlier in my career is that, you know, Baltimore needs this. We need a lift. We need something good. We need something that's going to put a smile on people's faces. Right. And when you walk out of your club, you're smiling.
Right. I'm very enheartened. I mean, I would not be coming to Baltimore, you know, just to retire at the end of my days. I mean, I'm happy to be here at the age of 73 doing what I know how to do and probably have more experience doing than virtually anybody else in the world. But it makes me happy. It makes me feel fulfilled that I'm doing something, you know, doing a little good in the neighborhood. And I've received more expressions of deep gratitude since I've been here just in 5 months than I have in the rest of my career combined before that. And I've done a lot of work in my life. I've dedicated my whole life to this music, but a lot of people here do get it, that the importance of this and the joy of it and that you need to support it to keep it there.
And Harbor East as a neighborhood here in Baltimore, I mean, an up-and-coming thing. There's cranes all over the place, building going on, you know, left, right, and center. You're literally across the street from this new Whole Foods that's going to be opening there and whenever. I mean, the neighborhood is holding up for you, and you have hope that this neighborhood will continue to grow and continue to attract even more folks down for the entertainment possibilities?
Yeah, we're very encouraged by the neighborhood. The Whole Foods are going to open up early next year, like end of January, beginning of February of next year, and it's going to be a huge flagship Whole Foods with a waterfront cafe. And the building across the street is a very large condominium building. So there's a lot of energy going on in that street, and the streets are starting to open up, and the construction is starting to get completed. So within a matter of months, you know, it'll be open, free and open traffic in that area, which will contribute greatly because the facility we're in was called the Muscle Bar and Grill, and it was actually closed for a year before we, turned it over into Keystone Corner at the end of April. So this is really a part of the reclamation part of bringing this part of Harbor East really back stronger than ever.
When folks talk about development in Baltimore, there are people who have different experiences with the city itself. What's your experience been starting this new business in the city, in Harbor East, with the city government, the permitting process, the process of getting this thing off the ground?
Well, I've felt it's been very, very encouraging. I mean, you know, I found that. And I know that the city of Baltimore has had its challenges, but, you know, I fortunately have, between my city councilman, Zeke Cohen, and Ms. Middleton and the city council, and even the new mayor's office, Jack Young, they've been very, very cooperative. And we have a dear friend named Billy Murphy.
He was there the other night when I was there. Yeah.
He's a wonderful fan. Drummer and attorney and former judge who's a friend of the club. So I've felt a tremendous amount of support in that area. And I know, and I feel, we feel very blessed because we know that you know, it can be very challenging.
You have some recording projects. You mentioned the thing that's going to happen on New Year's Eve live from Keystone Corner. You have a pianist named Stanley Cowell who's going to come beginning of October the 5th and 6th and record a video and a CD. And the audience, of course, is going to be invited.
And
to
Benny
be part
Russell
of that.
Just recorded a wonderful big band recording there. These are our first live recordings. We hope first of many, 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 because that's part of the living legacy of our music. There are over 100 kind of iconic recordings from the original Keystone Corner. And so, you know, people like Russ on Roland Kirk and McCoy Tyner and Miles Davis and so many people recorded live, Stan Getz and Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and Wynton Marsalis. that this is an important part of what our legacy is, and we want it to continue to be so. And we got some people coming up that are especially, we feel very, very excited. I'm thrilled that Roy Haynes is coming here in his 90s and playing like he's in his 40s or 50s. I mean, the people, being able to have people like that, and from the old Keystone, Eddie Henderson with Donald Harrison and Robbie Coltrane's quartet. That's part of our, you know, it's part of what the Keystone Corner is all about.
We have an email from Jonathan who says, I'm a member of the BSO, and I'm very grateful that you're starting a Sunday brunch series featuring music featuring the Baltimore Symphony musicians. So that's going to start actually this Sunday from 11 to 2. The BSO musicians are going to be playing. Groups of them are going to be playing on Sunday brunch. So that's another addition to the music scene. Of course, the BSO has been out on strike, or not actually on strike.
Well, that's
it's officially
real.
A lockout at the moment. And that's going to change. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the program. But when you have people like, you know, Lonnie Liston Smith coming, as you mentioned, Roy Haynes, Eddie Palmieri, when they talk to you about the scene that they're experiencing nationally and internationally, the jazz scene across the country, do you see it expanding, contracting, getting better, getting worse, staying the same? I mean, how has it evolved in your estimation since you got involved, you know, in 1972?
Well, you know, I'm in my fifth decade of doing this, and I think it is going through a period of rather radical transformation, and the musicians and I talk about it all the time. What we need more than anything, and I'm going to be giving a little lecture under the auspices of Sean Jones at Peabody. I'm going to be talking to some of the students about this. We need more dedicated people, like the lady who's going to follow me next. You know, to
Sid
present
Wolf, Sid yeah, who Wolf, has a wonderful cabaret
Wolf,
at Germano's
Ian
Piattini.
Rashkin, people that are dedicated to presenting this music in a world class manner, and I think this restaurant, I think this Keystone Corner, and my partnership with the Grandmaster Chef, Michelin starred Robert Wiedmeyer, it points a direction for a paradigm that could be done a lot more nationwide for the music, because the combination of great food and great music, if you have dedicated people partnering in doing that, I think it can be a tremendously productive synergy. And I do think it's changing. I mean, I think the whole, certainly the circuit that we knew it, Tom, as we knew it, started to go through a radical transformation in the early 80s. And there was a circuit. While Keystone Corner was around, there was a national circuit. And then that started to eventually and very quickly dissipate into the situation now where people, instead of going out and doing 2 or 3 months, they go out and do 2 or 3 days or 4 days. And they play one night here and 2 nights there, one night here, mainly one night. So I feel very fortunate that we can still do 2 or 3 nights here.
Yeah, you're booking them for the weekend, Friday, right. Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
And I opened up even doing more than that, but I worked it out. My partner, Robert Wiedmeyer, and I worked it out. We wanted to make a statement that we were here to stay, and we're here, you know, to really make a commitment to this community and to be a member of this community and really provide, you know, world-class music 52 weeks a year.
Okay, we're running out of time, but I do want to go to the phones to Tom in Baltimore for a quick comment before we say goodbye to Mr. Barkin. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've been down to the club a couple of times, and how much the beauty of having the silent audience and the ability to not only listen but watch great musicians, and how you get the whole total sensory experience by seeing how they interact, seeing their body language, seeing their magic fingers. That's all. Thanks.
Great point, Tom. You know, I mean, live music is a very different experience than listening to all these wonderful albums, as wonderful as they may be. There's nothing that beats being in the room at the time.
Yeah, I there's nothing like it in my whole life. I mean, that's basically what I live for. And I couldn't agree more with you. And there's something, you know, when next week when Christian McBride is in the club, there's nowhere in the world, or Warren Wolf is there this weekend, there's nowhere in the world I would more rather be.
Yeah.
And right there, you know, with those shared cycles of creativity being experienced, because it's just one of the most exhilarating experiences of life.
Well, Todd Barkin, we really appreciate it that you've brought this club to Baltimore. I think it's a really big lift for our city at a time that we could use it. So thank you so much, and break a leg.
Thank you, sir.
Todd Barkin, he is an impresario and an NEA Jazz Master with Chef Robert Wiedmeyer. He is the proprietor of the Keystone Corner Nightclub. It's in Harmer East. It's at the corner of Eden and Lancaster here in Baltimore. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, the great vibraphone virtuoso Warren Wolf appears with the Wolf Pack. And the next weekend, as Todd just mentioned, Christian McBride, the host of NPR's Jazz Night in America, will be there with his band, The New John. Keystone has music every night of the week, too. And on Sundays, as we mentioned, they're offering a brunch. And this month, for at least the next three Sundays, members of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra will perform chamber music from 11 to 2. BSO players are in the 12th week of a lockout stemming from a contract dispute with BSO management. So if you've missed them at the Meyerhoff this summer, you can catch small groups of them at the Keystone Corner on Sundays. We'll have a complete listing of all the acts appearing at Keystone on our website, wypr.org/midday. We're going to go out with a clip from one of the many albums that Todd Barkin has produced throughout the years. This is The Offense of the Drum by Arturo O'Farrell and the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. I'm Tom Hall. Midday on the Arts continues after a quick break with a preview of the Marinari Arts Festival in Little Italy. Stay with us.
This is your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.